This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
All set to deliver.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Doug Krisner. Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke seemed all prepared to deliver some tough talk to the Chinese today. He's in Beijing as part of the U.S. trade delegation. The mission? Persuade China to spur domestic demand and narrow a record trade gap with the U.S. Now, in prepared remarks, Bernanke boldly called China's overvalued currency an effective subsidy for exporters. But when it came time to speak, he used less confrontational language. Ruth Kirshner reports from the Chinese capital.
Usually, U.S. officials argue that the low value of the yuan makes Chinese imports into the U.S. very cheap and stymies U.S. industries. But Fed Chairman Bernanke took another approach. He told his audience at the Chinese Academy of Social Sciences that China itself would benefit from a stronger yuan.
Greater scope for market forces to determine the value of the RMB would also reduce an important distortion in the Chinese economy, namely the incentive for Chinese firms to focus on exporting rather than producing for the domestic market. A decrease in this distortion would induce more firms to gear production toward the home market, benefiting domestic consumers and firms.
Bernanke said stronger domestic consumption would make China less vulnerable to fluctuations in global demand. It would also help to reduce China's massive trade surplus with the U.S. In Beijing, I'm Ruth Kirshner for Marketplace.
It's that time of year when the Wall Street crowd starts counting its money. Bonuses abound, and they fatten the accounts of people who make as little as 100 grand a year in base salary. And for the folks at the very top of the food chain, 2006 will go down as a very good year. Morgan Stanley has given its chief, John, $40 million in stock and options for 2006. That's the largest bonus ever for a Wall Street CEO. Speaking of pay, today companies begin to use new disclosure rules for executive and director compensation. The Securities and Exchange Commission has made its largest revision to these requirements in 14 years. Hillary Wickay has more.
The new SEC rules require much more disclosure about what executives and directors are paid. The idea is that investors should be able to, at a glance, figure out how much CEOs are making. John White is with the SEC. He says all of the various forms of executive compensation will now be added together to create a single number.
Cash, bonuses, options, restricted stock, change in the value of your retirement benefits, and any other kind of compensation.
James Cox at Duke University believes the new requirements could slow the rapid rise in executive compensation.
Executive pay has been going up, 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 regardless of whether the performance of the firm has improved.
Investors made it very clear that executive pay was important to them. When the SEC voted on the new rules in July, it had received more comments on the issue than any other in its 72-year history. I'm Hillary Wickay for Marketplace.
Well, it was a positive day for Wall Street yesterday, helped in part by stronger-than-expected earnings news from Lehman Brothers and Bear Stearns. The Dow gained 99 to a record close, 12,416. The Nasdaq picked up 21 to 2453. The S&P was up 12. You're listening to Marketplace. How are you doing on your retirement planning? Do you have enough money saved? Well, you're not alone. A new study commissioned by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce says most people don't. We have more from Marketplace's Lisa Napoli.
By the year 2030, there will be twice as many people turning 65 as there are now. Most of them expect to be retired by then, but few of them are planning accordingly. Investment officer Peter Gilbert helped oversee the study.
Almost 30% of those in the workforce have less than $10,000 saved for retirement. Over half has less than $100,000 saved for retirement.
Gilbert says the coming crisis in retirement is more than just a personal issue. He says the strength of U.S. financial markets will diminish as the number of retirees swells and they start to liquidate their securities. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
Produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Duke Executive MBA, developing leaders and accelerating careers around the world with four top-ranked executive MBA programs for working professionals. DukeExecutiveMBA.com. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Doug Krisner. Yesterday, the Hollywood Foreign Press Association announced the nominations for the 64th annual Golden Globes. There are categories in both film and television. We take a look with Variety senior editor Stu Levine.
Well, the big news of the day, really, Doug, is that, which is very unusual, that both Leonardo DiCaprio and Clint Eastwood were nominated twice in the same category. Leo is now going to go against himself. He's nominated for both The Departed and for Blood Diamond, both from Warner Brothers. And for Clint, he's nominated for directing Flags of Our Fathers and the Japanese perspective of Flags, which is called Letters from Iwo Jima, which is not out yet, but I saw it last week, and it's terrific. So they're basically going against each other in the acting and directing categories.
So when you get a nomination, does it necessarily translate into bigger box office for the film?
It can. Some of the smaller films and some of the films that have not come out yet, this kind of extra publicity certainly is going to help a lot. For films that have already been out in the marketplace for a while, something like Departed or The Queen, I don't think an expected Golden Globe nomination is going to turn into any kind of big box office bump. But for some of the newer films and the stuff that's not out there yet, I think the extra publicity certainly can help.
How well do these nominations correlate to the Oscars?
It's pretty close. The only big difference is that the Globes actually have 10 categories for stuff like film and actor. The Globes have a drama category and a separate comedy musical category. So that's actually pared down for the Oscars, because the Oscars only have 5. So what usually happens is 3 of the 4 drama films from the Globes will make it to the Oscar category, but maybe 1, possibly 2, but not usually, of the comedy musicals will go into the Oscars.
Now, the Globes also have a category for television. Any surprises here?
Correct. No big surprises. The Globes kind of, every year, they like to kind of pick out the new shows and shows that just launched and say, these are the shows that are worthy of awards attention. This year, that would go to Ugly Betty, the ABC show starring America Ferrara, which is doing gangbusters both at Nielsen-wise and critics-wise, and the new NBC show Heroes, which has been a big hit for the NBC, which has had some tough times over the past few years. Heroes got Best Drama, and Masioka, one of the stars of the show, got nominated. So it's good news for NBC and ABC on those fronts.
What about the award show broadcast itself? Does it draw a big audience?
Huge. It's probably the second only to the movie-wise, Oscars obviously does number one. But the Globes broadcast is always in the top 5 or 10 of the year after the Super Bowl, I think the Grammys, Emmys, that kind of stuff. NBC's had it for the past couple of years. It used to run on Sunday nights, but they moved it over the past couple of years because of football on Sunday nights. So they moved it now to Mondays, where it seems to be holding its own pretty well. And I would not be surprised at all if it draws another big crowd.
Stu, thanks very much for talking with us.
My pleasure.
Stu Levine is senior editor with Daily Variety. You can read more about the Golden Globes at their website. That's variety.com. And check out our website, too. Take a look at the stories we're covering today and find out more about our podcasting at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.